President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans. And to heal the planet. My promise is to help you and your family.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, here for another Monday night. I hope you're all staying warm and safe wherever you are. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm joined by Jay Farrar, and we're here with you for the next couple of hours. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I was very impressed by the weather that we've seen in the last day, and it's amazing how little of the conversation in this election season has been about climate change.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a storm like that?
So that what we just played,
especially
there,
in Manhattan. Well, you know,
it looks like every scary movie about end of days, and you see the, I mean, what was that one with Ben Affleck all those years ago where they used the Big O? Wasn't that one where the streets of New York were flooded and
the
Statue of Liberty was submerged in water?
Oh, well, that was The Day After Tomorrow, wasn't it?
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that was the one.
Statue of Liberty has taken quite a beating in movies.
She sure has.
Yeah, poor lady.
And in real life.
And in real life as well.
She's
taking a beating right now, too.
You know, she was copper-colored once upon a time.
She was.
When France delivered her. Yeah. What we've just played you off the top of the show was from Mitt Romney's acceptance speech at the RNC, the Republican convention.
Did he won? We missed?
For the nomination.
Oh, okay. I thought.
For the Republican Party.
I thought the storm, we missed the whole thing.
Okay. No, you'd kind of think watching TV today that, well, the election's it's on the back burner.
As it should be.
Yeah.
As it should be. There are lives at stake.
Right. Right. And we'll keep an eye on the news.
You call that news? Okay, yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on reporters standing out in the rain.
A bunch of idiots standing around with the water up to their knees and not able to report anything.
It's making its way to Montreal, but it looks like Montreal will be spared the worst of this, what they're now calling a superstorm.
Yeah. There are wind warnings on the 720 eastbound.
Yeah, 90-kilometer winds.
Yeah, don't go too quickly because that wind can pick your car right up and flip it over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah.
And of course, you got to watch out for things like falling trees, which were being reported in the area on Twitter as well.
I saw some construction signs knocked down as well on my way in.
Yeah, and garbage littered all up to Cary. That was, I guess it's garbage day in Snowden, because there was garbage just littered all the way up the road.
Oh, okay. So it's a normal night, Kaufman. That's not, you know.
Is that, that's a normal night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sorry,
not very nice. You
yeah.
Know. So last night, the San Francisco Giants won the World Series. And tonight we will keep the baseball flame going for one more night. We're going to be joined by Wendy Thurm from Getting Blanked and Fangraphs. She's at Hanging Sliders on Twitter, a fantastic follow, especially during these playoffs. And that'll, like I said, in about 10 minutes' time. In about a half an hour, we'll be joined by Ashley Chavez. You saw Ashley on the Fox broadcast of Game 4 last night, being interviewed by Aaron Andrews. Ashley won the MLB Fan Cave.
And she's a Giants fan.
And she's a big-time Giants
fan. Ashley's having a good year.
I would say so.
Yeah.
She was presented with the, I don't know if it was a trophy or the announced that she had won by her favorite ball player of all time, which is Will Clark.
Really?
Yeah.
Will Clark?
Hey, man.
I always hated Will Clark. I don't know why. He's one of those guys, I'm sure.
But you weren't a Giants fan.
I wasn't a Giants fan, and Will Clark he rubbed me the wrong way. He always looked so cocky, and like, I don't know, there's something about him I didn't like. I didn't like his face.
I'm sure Ashley will be able to tell you about a different side of him. But
yes.
We'll talk to Ashley.
Help me like Will Clark.
There you go. And we'll find out about her experience in the fan cave, watching all 2,430 Major League Baseball games this season. and the superstars that she met and the concerts that they had. And like she said on air last night, I think they were doing about 100 hours a week in the cave. Pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Get to watch a lot of baseball. She'll be able to tell us who, in fact, probably better than just about anybody, who should be the American League MVP.
And it seems
she
like,
saw every at bat for both Cabrera and Trout.
And it seems like they're starting a new fan cave too. I saw a commercial for submissions.
Yes, I saw
Are
that as well.
Are you doing it? Go. I think you have to be an American citizen.
No, you don't have to be an American citizen. No,
Dave, go for it.
I'm very tempted.
I got your back.
You got my back.
Go for it, man.
I'm telling you. You have to have a team.
It's right up your alley.
You have to represent a team.
Okay. Well, you have a team.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
The team that I have probably wouldn't endear me to winning that contest. No,
probably not. Probably not.
So I'd have to pick my second favorite team.
Which is?
I've been going with Tampa Bay. Why stop now?
There you go. So go for it.
Yeah. Rays Nation, right?
Yeah, Rays Nation, man. I'm going to try and think of something, a good term for Tampa Bay Ray fans. Oh, seven of them.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll think of one, but it'll come.
I love it. The Expos fan making fun of the Rays fan. They still have a team, Jay.
Ouch, Dave. Ouch.
Well, hey, I'm part of Rays Nation. I got to stand up for it.
What's going on with the storm in New York?
I don't know.
Is there a storm in New York?
Why don't we take a little break and we'll check Storm Watch 2012
Storm
for you.
Storm Watch.
And when
it's a
we
good
come
Billy
back,
Joel album, Stormwatch.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You aren't?
No.
We Didn't Start the Fire. And
that's on Stormwatch?
Every time I see...
That's not on Stormwatch.
That's on Stormwatch.
Absolutely not.
100% on Stormwatch.
To the Google. Let's take a break.
The Downeaster Alexa, which is perfect for this kind of weather. Billy Joel. That's
right. I remember
right.
that album.
First.
Yeah, I remember that album. That was the late 80s. That was the...
1989. We Didn't Start the Fire.
Stormwatch. Wasn't that River of Dreams?
No, that was later on. Come on, get your Billy Joel.
All right. I give up. This is the Kaufman Show. I don't like Billy Joel. Doing something else in the days, yeah. I'm trying to keep from getting uptight. I'm trying to keep from getting uptight. I've been thinking one thing, but doing something else in the days, yeah. I'm trying to keep from getting uptight. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you on our baseball hangover. But what are we going to talk about for the next? With no hockey, we better both sharpen up our basketball knowledge.
Oh, today. No, thank you. Stormfront.
The Billy Joel album.
Yeah.
Stormwatch is the name of every local news show's coverage of the storm tonight.
And a crappy comic book that came out in the mid-90s. So that's where my mind's at.
You got me on that one. Yeah. Let's bring our minds back to last night. Because it was a wonderful end and a fitting end to the World Series. Giants deserve to sweep that series. Let's bring in Wendy Thurm. She's a contributing writer at FanGraphs, Baseball Nation, and where I know her from is Getting Blanked. Please, ladies and gentlemen, do follow her on Twitter. Her tweets are fantastic. Hanging Sliders is the name. Wendy, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Tired, but happy.
I imagine. It's what's the day after like?
For me, it was quiet. I tried to catch up on reading as much as I could, both from the local beat writers and the national folks, just about the series and seeing how the Giants were perceived, after the sweep of the Tigers, given kind of what the expectations were when the series started. So it's been gratifying, and it was an interesting journey today. Very mellow and good, getting ready for the parade on Wednesday.
It kind of felt like everybody had jumped on the bandwagon by the end, eh?
I would say, you know, there were definitely some folks who, you know, they didn't say they were eating crow, but they, you know, they basically were. You know, there were quite a few folks, you know, not just folks who made predictions, Tigers and Six, but some folks who had written some pretty strongly worded pre-World Series stories about how the Giants had their chance and the Tigers were dominant and look what they'd done to the Yankees. I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe folks are jumping on the bandwagon. Vegas certainly isn't. The Tigers, I see, are the favorites heading into the 2013 season. The Giants are somewhere on that list, but they're not the favorites. But, you know, and myself included, there are a lot of people who, you know, haven't really given this front office kind of its due. Even after the 2010 World Series, which seemed to be, you know, kind of one of those dumb luck, like everything that could go right went right kind of thing with the pickups that they had in 2010. This is more of a homegrown team. I think it's, for me, it's more gratifying, but also much more interesting in terms of what it says about the organization, about what the strategy is, what it has been, and to think about this core group of young players going forward. So,
did you just say that this one's sweeter for you than the last one?
Yeah, I mean, it is for me. I mean, I think overall, it was a much more enjoyable season. I mean, 2010 was cathartic in the sense that it was the first championship for San Francisco since the Giants had moved west in 1958. But for me, this was a much more fun year, just because, as I mentioned, I mean, just the core of young players that you can imagine being around this team for a long time, starting, of course, with Buster Posey, the pitching, you know, the young pitchers, Kane and Bumgarner, Sergio Romo, who stepped up to the closer role. You know, it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with Lincecum, both in terms of whether he bounces back as a starter and kind of what that means as to whether the Giants want to keep him going forward. You know, it's almost unthinkable a year ago that, or 18 months ago, that Lincecum wouldn't be part of the franchise. I mean, he was the face of the franchise, just in terms of his personality and the marketing efforts. And that really took a hit this year. So it feels that'll be very interesting. And then you've got the young position players, the Brandons, you've got, you know, Belt and Crawford, and you've got Sandoval. So, I mean, it's, you know, I was just reading Jonah Carey's story on Grantland before we got on, and he talked about all of that and then said, and they're all under 28. And,
wow.
You know, that's, yeah, it's just a far cry from kind of, you know, how they put together 2010. I mean, 2010 was young pitchers really excelling on the big stage and veteran hitters coming through. You know, Edgar Renteria, Pat Burrell, Juan Uribe, Aubrey Huff, you know, none of whom, I mean, many of whom aren't in professional baseball this year, none of whom will probably be in professional or in the MLB next year, you know, just a few short years after that World Series. So, yeah, I mean, in a sense that it's more gratifying because I can see the medium and long-term strategy for the organization, and I can see the building blocks for kind of sustained excellence. And that, you know, other than the starting pitching, you couldn't really see that in 2010. So to me, it's more enjoyable because, you know, I can see the future, and the future continues to look bright.
One of the names that you didn't touch on that I think really is going to contribute to that bright future is Ryan Vogelsong.
Absolutely.
His background is just fantastic, too.
It's an amazing, amazing story. I don't know how many, you know, what your listeners know about him, but Vogelsong was drafted out of college, drafted by the Giants, came up with the Giants, was, you know, he was a back of the rotation starter. He wasn't, you know, he was then and was used as a trade chip. He was sent along to the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the early 2000s by the Giants in exchange for Jason Schmidt, who went on to have a stellar career with San Francisco and was the core of the team that went to the World Series in 2002. Vogelsong then kind of drifted around. He wasn't particularly successful with the Pirates, He bounced around the minors. He went to Japan and played there for 3 years or 4 years. Came back, was in the Phillies minor league organization in 2010. And, you know, had stayed in touch with the Giants pitching coach, Dave Rigetti, Mark Gardner, who was a starter back in the early 2000s, now is the bullpen coach.
Former Expo.
And former Expo. And he, and they took a chance on him. You know, he was a non-roster invitee before the 2011 season. And, you know, I mean, he just, it's, I mean, not only is it a story of redemption because he had been originally drafted by the Giants, but pitchers just arrive on the stage kind of having figured it out, and to be able to sustain the level of pitching excellence he's shown for the last two seasons at his age. So he's 35. So last season he was 34. I mean, it's, there's so many things about it that are unusual, and the stat, you know, the deck was just incredibly stacked against him. So, you know, he's signed for, he's a 2-year deal and an option. So he certainly will be back next year. You know, we'll see how it goes. You could anticipate if he's pitching, you know, close to how he did this year, the Giants will pick up the option. And then at that point, he'll be 37. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's certainly not part of the, you know, the young core, but he will certainly be a part of the rotation, you know, for the next couple of years.
We've got a couple, sorry, Wendy, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you have something left to say, I was just going to say we have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you one last question. Very important. I saved the most important question for last.
I'm ready.
Good. Parade day on Wednesday, Halloween. What are you expecting? First of all, are you going to be in costume? And second of all, what are you expecting to see from the players?
I'm not going to be in costume other than to be decked out in, you know, some aspect of my, you know, traditional Giants gear. I don't know. I could see some of the more prankster types, getting dressed up, you know, Brian Wilson, who
looking, sorry to interrupt you, looking down that dugout during the World Series, most of them are in costume anyway. Some of those guys.
Yeah. Brian Wilson kind of wakes up that way.
Yeah.
you know, Aubrey Huff, you know, he kind of let it go a bit at the 2010 campaign with the red thong, which was kind of, you know, a thing that year. but, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, a lot of the core in particular, they're pretty straight-laced guys. I mean, I can imagine kind of some of the bullpen guys doing something nutty just because they're bullpen guys and that's kind of part of their makeup.
Yeah, they're bored. They're bored.
But there were a million people in the streets of San Francisco 2 years ago. I don't know if we'll have that many people here, but this place knows how to throw a party. Halloween is particularly, it's a big deal in San Francisco. And, you know, the weather is expected to be good. So I think it'll be joyous and hopefully, you know, it'll be good natured and we won't have kind of any of the, we had a little bit of, you know, I don't know, this term rioting and some nonsense that went on last night during the celebrations. But, I mean, the parade in 2010 was, people were, you know, they were just so flabbergasted and so happy that mostly was well-behaved. You know, we'll see. We'll see what kind of pranksters show up this year. I think it's exciting.
Well, have fun, Wendy, and we really appreciate your time. And I think if you guys play your cards right, you might get a second parade in February for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes, I heard the Niners played very well tonight, so we'll see about that.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Follow her on Twitter at Hanging Sliders, Wendy Thurm, contributor to FanGraphs, Baseball Nation, and the good old Canadian getting blanked. This is The Kauffman Show. We'll be back in a few.
And I'm begging you, baby, because I'm on my knees. Turn on your light, let it shine on me. Turn on your light, let it shine on me. Hey, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
We'll be right back. look out my window. Many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the wind. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We got Jimmy G on the board. We got John Kakalakis helping us out with our baseball hangover. Next week, we got the election. We're covered.
Yeah.
But week after, man, wow.
So what did I say? Do you have the clip?
Of what did you say?
Play the clip.
Play what clip?
Of my prediction of the World Series. Play it. Come on. You don't have it all queued
sure.
up?
No, I have it queued up right here. Okay?
Okay.
Quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Giants are going to win in five.
That's right.
Is that good?
That's right.
That was it, right?
That was the most accurate impression of me I've ever heard. So precise. Five. You know why?
Five.
Five. Not bad. I can't imagine doing it for an entire show, but I feel like I can.
Well,
get,
I do do it for an entire show.
I can get a random word out that sounds like you. We've got a very special guest.
What?
On hold right now.
In five.
Four. Let's bring in Max Harris live from San Francisco, California. Hello, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
You know what? I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you sound like your team won the. You sound like your team won the World Series or something last night.
Well, not quite. You know, at first I was watching the game and I thought it would be weird to see the people around me celebrate just because it's not my team. I mean, I like them, but I don't have the same feeling as the people out here. But I got to say, seeing the people out in the streets celebrating, setting firecrackers off in the streets and all that. It kind of reminded me of why I love sports so much. I mean, I know that the three pillars of your show, Dave, are music, politics, and sports, but music's personal.
In no specific order there, Max, exactly.
Right, and yeah, sports has a way of just bringing people together.
Yeah, I'm happy that you mentioned that. I think that's really cool. I hope that the Oakland A's fans that were hanging out in San Francisco last night felt the same way.
I'm not sure they did, although you know what? For them, they had a great season. It really goes to show that expectations change so drastically based on who you are. I mean, the A's, by their standards, had an excellent season, and their fans are happy. The Yankees fans, meanwhile, went further than them and feel miserable right now.
Yeah, I think this might be the end of the era of the Yankees and the Yankees' brain trust and their fans expecting to win every year, because it's just not happening.
Oh, for sure, and they have a similar dilemma to the Red Sox. I mean, you talked about the big banks on Wall Street as being too big to fail. Right now with them, they're too big to rebuild. They're so entrenched in the way that they are right now that because of how they're depending on money, I don't see them having a scenario where they sell off everyone and have a few years where they win 70 games.
Not a chance.
They're not content with that. Right.
How are you going to sell a $2,500 ticket with a 500 ball club?
But you're so structurally flawed that it's going to be tough to really win a World Series anyway. So you're kind of in no man's land right now for those two teams, but it does represent a great opportunity for the Blue Jays.
Get in line behind the Orioles and Tampa and potentially Boston, right?
Well, but the Orioles are an obvious regression candidate. I don't expect them to have the same extra inning record next year, the same luck with injuries and a negative run differential throughout the season. And meanwhile, the Blue Jays got decimated by injuries this year.
True. Who do you think is going to manage them, Max?
I mean, we'll have to find out. You know, I have a couple candidates in mind that I think would be interesting. Well, you know, one with Expos ties, of course.
Jim Tracy.
Or Manny Acta or Tim Wallach.
Yeah, either one.
All of them have been rumored for the job, so.
I've heard rumblings about Joe Torre as well.
No.
Yeah. They're actually talking about that on ESPN, believe it or not.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be shocked.
Oh, I'd be shocked, too. I think it's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But you never know. You never know.
I cannot imagine, A, Joe Torre going back to baseball, and B, having it be in Toronto.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I heard that straight from ESPN.
I will say that would be a very validating move for the city of Toronto after seeing the way that John Farrell basically treated them like they were a AAA ball club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Frank Robinson came out of the Major League front office to coach to manage the Expos. I mean, circumstances were a little different.
Yeah, we all know how well that worked out.
Yeah, well.
Joe Torre falling asleep at the Rogers Center dugout would not be a great sight to see.
And then pretending to get mad after the game about it.
Max, anything else going on?
Just plugging away. Life's not so bad in California, I got to say that.
Shocked. Yeah. Shocked to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you see the weather that we're having over here on the East Coast, so.
Yeah, I see it.
You guys are a little bit, for once, the West Coast is a little bit better off when it comes to weather or natural occurrences of any kind.
The latest that I'm seeing is that the boardwalk, part of the boardwalk in Atlantic City has been washed away, wiped out. And Max, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back on the Kaufman Show.
It's hard to find. Down here it's just winners and losers, and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Well, I'm tired of coming out on this losing end. So honey, last night I met this guy, and I'm gonna do a little favor for him. Well, I guess everything dies, maybe that's a bet. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. So take care of the
And now.
Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you on this beautiful, cold, windy, wet, 90-kilometer-an-hour winds and 90-mile-an-hour winds in New York City today.
Right. Scary stuff. And the thing is about this right now is that we're not going to know till the sun comes up the extent of the damage. Because we're seeing some great tweets on Twitter about, you know, pictures, and this is just from people that that have the first-hand knowledge or first-hand witnesses of it. Can you imagine when all the stories start coming in? And wow,
yeah, when
the sun comes up tomorrow,
when Anderson Cooper actually gets to Manhattan and off the beach in front of the Stone Pony at Asbury Park,
yeah,
unreal.
It's, you know what? It's just so irresponsible. It really is, because they're literally having mayors.
They're standing outside telling people to stay inside,
right?
And you can't. It's not. You can't hear them. They can't hear you. And yeah, all they can do is report on how many inches of water there is at their feet.
At their feet.
And it's. I mean, I watched. I think her name's Ashley Banfield, who was reporting from Battery Park today.
Right.
And it was like, the water's at my ankles. The water's at my knees. Yeah. The water's back to my ankles.
Yeah.
You know, you're in New York City. There's stuff going on all around you. I understand that the visual of this is. You know,
yeah, and that's what I tweeted.
Gripping,
I said,
until somebody jogs by.
Yeah, Yeah, and it just—it looks so ridiculous, and that's what I tweeted. I said, "Listen, CNN, you have enough footage of your reporters out in the middle of the storm now that you can do your stupid promos later on, okay? When Sandy hit New York City, we were there, you know, and showing them out in the rain and falling and whatever. It's the stupidest thing. Get back inside, get them inside, start doing some responsible journalism. You're having mayors of major cities in New Jersey and New York, and they're trying to talk to these, and the technical difficulties are coming from CNN's end.
Of course.
They're not coming from the phone line. The guy, who was it, the mayor of Albuquerque? Who's just
the mayor of Albuquerque?
He's sitting there, and it's like he's in the CNN studio. He's like, hello, I can't hear you.
Hoboken,
whatever.
For I am the mayor of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
See if those Dallas Cowboys play baseball. They'll play what I tell them to play.
Yeah, well, he could have been the mayor of Albuquerque because CNN couldn't hear him anyway. Poor guy is sitting. It almost sounded like he was in studio, and you couldn't hear their microphones because of the wind. Go inside, start doing some research, start calling some people, you know.
Still, incredibly compelling television.
It's not. It's not. It's terrible television.
Well, then
I actually changed it to Monday Night Football. That's how bad it was.
For shame, Jay. Yeah. You're supposed to have Monday Night Football on the radio on TSN 690.
Right. Well,
I did. And you can watch whatever you want on television.
I did on the way in to see how much time I had left before I got to the studio.
It's always the big race, eh? Leaving the fourth quarter? Do I have time for a coffee and to get to the studio and get everything done on time?
That
well,
poor mayor of Albuquerque. I can't believe it.
You know, Albuquerque's in New Mexico. Right?
I know.
I know.
I was being an idiot.
It's okay.
Yeah. I was being facetious.
Go Isotopes.
Yeah. It's the mayor of Albuquerque.
let's take a break.
Yeah.
And when we return, we will be joined by Ashley Chavez, the winner of the MLB Fan Cave competition for 2012.
Nice.
I think so.
And I got a request from somebody. I think you should go outside and report from the streets of Westmount.
You know, the last time we did that, it made sense. There were like 3,000 protesters rushing
yeah.
by me.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly my point.
Do we want to do a live remote where there's...
It never makes sense to send your reporters out in windy conditions with rain. It never makes any sense.
I'm just going to go walk through the park and we'll see what happens, right?
Dave, is your hair messed up yet?
I'm going to wear some... I'm going to take off my shoes because you don't want to be wearing any kind of rubber on your soles, right?
Right.
And I think I've got my golf clubs in the trunk.
Perfect.
All right.
But I got an aluminum bat.
Oh, man, this is going to be the sickest remote ever.
Yeah.
All right, this is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
Yes, Satan.
That's Sister Mary Carr, The Ball Game. You can find that on Baseball's Greatest Hits from Rhino Records, something I've had in my CD collection for almost 20 years, Jay.
In your car, too, huh?
It is in my car,
too.
I know.
I know it is.
Hey, every once in a while, I just get that urge to hear a Dying Cub Fan's Last Request by Steve Goodman. And this is also one of the gems on that album. I highly recommend it to all of you. Our next guest is someone I'm super psyched to speak to. I have not spoken to her since April when I was in New York City and got to visit her and eight other contestants in the MLB fan cave. There were, I believe, three when they made it to the World Series. And Ashley Chavez was the last person standing. She got a bobblehead. She got presented with the, I don't know if it was a trophy or not, but her idol, her favorite ballplayer, Will Clark, gave it to her, announced to her that she had won. And now she's with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Ashley, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so great talking to you again. It has been a while. I can't believe it's been since April.
Yeah, you've had quite a time in between, huh?
No kidding. It's unbelievable.
It was, the first, I think I was there, it was probably about maybe 10 days, maybe a week into the season. And it was really cool to see the dynamic with all of you guys and, you know, to know that you were at the very start of something that, you know, was going to last the entire season long. How did you prepare to you know, the routine of it? And it, that may sound silly to some people, but frankly, it seems like quite the grind to every day, day in, day out, watch all that baseball and maintain a sunny disposition at the same time.
It is. It's nothing that you can actually prepare for. You just have to hope that it fits, and it totally fit for every single person that they brought to the fan cave. I mean, the dynamic of all of us together has been amazing. We are totally a tight-knit family. It's absolutely nothing that I could ever ask for. It's just been absolutely incredible. But, yeah, no, it is kind of intimidating to look at the 24-30 games to watch till postseason and think, okay, I have a lot of games to go through. But I can't tell you how fast the season went by. I mean, this whole experience has been so amazing. It absolutely flew.
Did you find yourself counting off the days, sort of? Like, did you have a calendar at home where you'd strike everything off as it went through, or no?
No. August came out of nowhere, and I felt myself getting almost depressed. Like, okay, I have a month left of basically regular baseball. September comes, it's not regular baseball, it's September baseball. So I find myself in August. I'm getting stressed out, worried, sad that it's ending. And then September comes, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is surreal. Next thing you know, October's here, and then now the World Series is over. I mean, it absolutely flew by, like I said.
And what a trip to have your team in it.
This can't even be written. It's just been an absolute storybook ending. It's incredible.
Now, I'm going back. Obviously, I've been following you on Twitter the entire season, and I'm remembering when Matt Cain pitched his perfect game, and I'd have to imagine that would have been the highlight up until, or at least the highlight of your time in the cave, right?
That was a big deal for me, especially because it was my father's birthday, and it was the first time I was away from my family and this and that and everything. And my dad and I are such huge baseball nuts. So it was my first time really away from him not being able to watch a game with him. And the fact that Matty pitched a perfect game, the first perfect game in Giants history on his birthday, was just way, way too emotional.
So you, one of the things I think that Buck and McCarver mentioned as your interview with Aaron Andrews finished last night during the World Series was that you had been given a season's pass, a golden pass next year, which gives you access to every stadium, right?
Correct.
Oh, man, I guess I know what you're doing next summer, huh?
Traveling to as many ballparks as possible. I'm so excited. When they told us that, I mean, they didn't tell us that we were going to win actual prizes. It was, in our minds, just going to be a title of the Ultimate Cage Warrior, which is more than enough for us. I mean, this whole experience has been basically winning, you know. The fact that there were actual prizes along with it and the prizes that they did offer were absolutely astounding. The fact that we get to go to every single Major League Baseball game whenever we want, with another friend or our family member, is insane. It's absolutely insane.
Would you say that you're a bigger baseball fan now than when this whole thing started?
Hands down. I mean, the stories you hear, the relationships you build with ball players and different teams and this and that, and how closely you follow other teams, which you wouldn't follow previously, yeah. You would definitely love baseball 100 million times more.
What would you say, Ashley, to anybody out there that's thinking about applying for next year's Fan Cave?
when you're applying, be yourself. MLB knows who they're looking for. They can pick up the real fans from the people that are trying to be maybe trying too hard and this and that. So definitely be yourself. Trust your knowledge of baseball. That was my biggest concern because, you know, you go into this thing thinking, I mean, I couldn't answer every question in baseball IQ. You know, like you get worried that you're not a baseball genius. You know, trust your baseball knowledge. Trust your fandom, and you will go far, guaranteed.
Ashley Chavez, you can follow her on Twitter at Smashly Chavez. Congratulations. We're all very impressed, and you held your own with Aaron Andrews in primetime last night for sure. And all looking forward to seeing what's up next for you, Ashley.
Thank you so much. So great talking to you again.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Definitely.
All the best.
Thank you.
There she goes, the winner of the MLB Fan Cave 2012, Ashley Chavez, live on The Kauffman Show. And you know, asking her for that advice, I think I will take heed. I will apply, Jay.
You're going to apply?
I will apply.
Good.
I will apply.
Good. I think you should.
Why not?
I think you'd be perfect for this.
You know, like we said, the only fallback, or the only downfall is that I don't have a team to go in with. I'm not a diehard Tampa fan. I'm not a diehard Blue Jays fan. I'm a diehard Expos fan. So I'll...
You know what? I think your best bet...
I'm just going to upsell that NL stuff, man. I love the NL.
Representing Canada, and if you do get a shot at it, you'd be the only one. I would go with the Blue Jays.
Well, that's the...
It'd be original, at least, you know.
I'm sure there'd be some legitimate Blue Jays fans out there that would take umbrage with that.
Oh, whatever. Tell them to get over it. Show up to the ball game.
Will you fill my seat while I'm gone if I...
You want
to...
me to? bring a Baruchel back in.
Will
and,
there still be a show when I get back?
Yeah, there will be still be a show, but I would love to see you on that thing. That would be great.
That'd be pretty damn cool, wouldn't it?
I think it's right up your alley, man. I think it really is.
I know. Our congratulations to all of the members of the MLB Fan Cave. Ashley Chavez, Ricardo Marquez, Ben Christensen, Ricky Mast, and everybody else who I didn't follow. But those guys were awesome on Twitter all year long. And
pretended not to hate each other really, really
oh
well.
Oh, my God. They did amazingly so. Amazingly so.
Better than they do on Survivor, anyway.
Well, sure. You know, they didn't... Survivor, you're not chilling in a, you know...
And you're not coaxed by the director to say something awful about the other guy.
A converted bank on Broadway and 4th. It's right. A bit of a different getup.
Right.
You know? There's no all the beer and Pepsi you can drink at the...
yeah, no eating...
On Survivor Vanuatu.
No eating bugs and naked guys.
All right, this is SF Song for those wonderful Giants and all their fans. We'll be back on The Kauffman Show. Welcome back. Our maritime-themed music on The Kauffman Show tonight. 500. No, no, we're here, we swear. Mr. Farrar, what's shaking, man?
Just looking at some great, well, great, but some extraordinary photos.
Riveting?
Riveting. They go. Really are.
Oh,
yeah. Scary.
The stuff I saw before of...
And like I said, that's just tonight. I mean, right. We'll see what we'll see in the morning.
Well, that's always how it works. But the the light of day will hopefully... Well, you know, it's tough to tell, Jay. Like, they say that this storm could sort of stick around for a few days, which is going to make things tough to suss out. And it's going to make whatever lead up to the election in the Northeast quadrant very different than it normally would be.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's going to affect it for the better or for the worse. I don't know if we're going to end up seeing more. Somebody said to me today, we're going to see so much money poured into this because it's election season.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, no, I think we're going to see money poured into this because it's New York.
Are we going to see a country singer go on TV and say, Barack Obama doesn't care about white people?
Jay, I kid you not, that went through my head earlier today. That is
Barack
so
Obama
funny.
Doesn't care about white people. Jeez.
I think we're more likely to see Donald Trump go on TV and say it than Kenny Chesney or whoever. That is literally the only one. Randy Travis, okay?
Right.
Actually, Randy Travis might, but he'll be drunk and naked when he does it. I don't know, man. I find the lead up, I mean, before Hurricane Sandy hit today, the big news was Nate Silver, who I think we've discussed on this program, 538 blog. He's one of the guys that invented the many of the sabermetric stats and the way to quantify baseball players,
right,
and their statistics. And he sold a lot of that stuff to Baseball Prospectus and ran it for them.
Right.
And he's also the guy that pretty much perfectly predicted the outcome of the 2008 McCain-Obama election.
Right.
So he's got this website linked through the New York Times blog called 538. And he's calling for, I think he's basically saying that Barack Obama has a 75% chance of winning the election.
Mm-hmm.
The right-wing pollsters are saying that he's pulling this number out of his ass.
Right.
As Jonah Carey tweeted earlier, Nate Silver tweeted it, I believe. This is the war on math. America's finally started the war on math.
Never believe a poll. Polls are the most inaccurate.
Well, it's not one poll. It's he's looking at a bunch of polling,
right,
and trying to determine. And again,
still, I mean, it's never accurate. It's not even ever close.
Well, okay, but that's like saying don't ever believe weathermen. And then you have something.
I don't.
Oh well, you did today, Jay.
Because they got it right.
Yeah.
The only reason I believe them in retrospect. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, they were right. I believe them. While they were speaking, though, I'm like, I don't believe a word you say.
So if you were in New York City today, you wouldn't have taken the precautions because who knows what the weather
is. Of course, I would
say.
Have.
Well, right.
It's different. You know?
So
I'm talking about normal weather. The way I check the weather is I go outside. I'm
yes.
like, oh, it's raining.
Very,
okay.
Yes, I agree with that.
Not like I care if it's raining anyway, because I just get in my car and go to work.
Well, no, but I mean, let's compare apples and oranges, right?
Right. Let's say if I was playing ball that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter.
But then I'd imagine you'd look at the hourly forecast on the Weather Network,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, they got it right. And you know what? The finger pointing's already started in this. Mayor is blaming mayor and... emergency officials are blaming this guy. And
Chris Christie.
We're not even through the night yet.
The governor of New Jersey and Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, were going at it tonight,
yeah,
which is ridiculous and doesn't help any situation.
Yes.
One of the more interesting things to come out tonight was that Governor Christie sent out a tweet saying that if the weather is still affecting day-to-day business on the 31st, he will make a governor's decree to change the date of Halloween. You have seen him, right, Jay?
No.
He likes his Halloween candy.
Oh, does he?
Yes, yes. This is a guy.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
He is the governor of New Jersey, okay? We all know who's from New Jersey. I play his music on the show all the time. Mr. Springsteen is New Jersey.
Yeah.
All Chris Christie wants to do is cozy up to Bruce, and Bruce won't let him.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes to shows. He can't get near him. he wants Springsteen to endorse this, that, or the other. Right. Springsteen won't have a thing to do with the guy.
Well, I wonder why, with crap like that coming out of his mouth. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It just,
I know.
The stupidity that I see on a constant basis.
We've seen a lot of stupidity.
It overwhelms me, sir. It overwhelms me. What's, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, stretching. Turning my neck to look at the, what's that called there? Television on the
That's
wall.
That's television, yeah.
23 states under warning. Advisory for Sandy. Who's Sandy? What'd she do?
She's not very nice. You know what? You know what's cool? That crane is still holding on.
Man, that crane.
That thing is. I hope everybody's, because, you know, it's going to come down eventually. But it's really holding on for dear life.
The building that it is attached to that is being built is one of the most expensive residence buildings in the history of New York City.
And one of the tallest.
The tallest. Yeah. There are duplexes for sale in this building for $90 million, Jay.
Really?
Yeah, that's A-Rod money, man.
That is A-Rod. Did they ever think that? How many stories?
That's like Russian tycoon money.
How many stories is it?
I don't know.
Okay, they didn't figure that, there's 90-mile-an-hour winds coming in. Perhaps we should take the crane
down.
Lower
the crane?
Yeah.
You think?
You know,
I don't think
anybody, throwing it out there.
I don't think anybody was expecting when Ben Affleck has this Argo movie in theaters for the other Ben Affleck movie to resurface in real life. Yeah. I don't know why I'm stuck on that one, but I mean, Morgan Freeman's the president, and they were wasn't Calvillo in that movie?
Oh, you're talking about Deep Impact.
See, I get them all confused.
Yeah, well,
they're all terrible movies.
They're all crap. You know, when I watched Deep Impact, the thing that I thought was the most impossible about it was that there was a black president.
Well, yeah.
And then I was proven wrong about that later on. Happily proven wrong. By the way, just making sure that's out there. Barack Obama doesn't care about white people. That's what we're going to hear tomorrow. I'm telling you, that's what you're going to hear.
Only if you're listening
to Fox. And Mike Myers is going to be standing next to him.
Shocked.
So awkward.
Shocked.
Yeah, so uncomfortable and cringing.
Leading to the why the hell was Mike Myers at the 2013 concert for New York again?
Right.
You know, what has he done?
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
The guru. What is it, the guru?
The love guru.
The love guru.
The love guru.
Yeah, it's over, dude. He's doing another Austin Powers. Anyway, how did we get to that? I don't know.
Something about the Maple Leafs.
Right.
Once again, you know, this is actually, I love that I'm working this out in my head on, not in my head, but out loud with you on the radio right now.
Yes.
Next week, we've got the election. We're cool.
Yes.
After that, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about.
Yes, big themes, blah, blah. What else? What's the day-to-day minutia of sports disappears, gone.
Well, there's football. I mean, there's CFL playoffs. I like CFL playoffs. I know you're not a fan, but
I don't dislike the CFL. You know what? I did my first CFL-related activity this week.
What did you do?
I watched the documentary on the Grey Cup in Montreal during the FLQ crisis.
I heard some of these documentaries are really good, and I'd like to watch them. How
this
was
one
it?
Was
it good?
Okay.
It was okay?
It was okay.
So it was made by somebody in Toronto. Is that the problem?
I don't know what the problem
The FLQ
was.
Crisis could...
The narrator got on my nerves.
Yeah,
okay?
The FLQ crisis could never be accurately explained unless it was from somebody who was there and who's from here.
Man, I learned some crazy stuff about the FLQ crisis at the Olympics, actually. When I was working out in Vancouver, one of the guys, the RCMP people that were in charge of security, ended up talking to him one night, and he's telling me about when he ran the security in Montreal during the FLQ crisis. And I mean, just walking around with a machine gun downtown, crazy stuff.
Just watch me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder how Harper would react in a similar circumstance.
I, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I don't
want to go through that crap.
And that's the one thing, Jay, is that it's so unfathomable to think that there was terrorism on the streets of Montreal. And you know, I'll tell you what, that was one thing that really got to me. It was the overuse of that word terrorism in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very off-putting because my version of terrorism, 9/11, whatever it is, I mean, these things, they're not, it's very hard to picture mailboxes being blown up in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
And at the time,
it fits the definition. It is what it is.
But at the time, was it called that? Or has the word become so terrifying?
I really don't. I think they were more called political attacks.
Yeah, see, I think so too.
But lingo changes over the years. You know, I mean, it becomes less and less human.
Like, I understand that the word terrorism, like, I mean, it basically defined to inflict fear on someone, right?
Right.
To terrify them.
Right. To inflict fear on the general populace based on a political idea or agenda.
I'd love to speak to some Montrealers who were around back then. If anybody was at that game, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
That would have been the first time that anybody had gone to a professional sporting event in Canada encountered so much.
Where's
security.
Conrad?
Where is Conrad?
Conrad,
Mr. Shatner.
I'm sure he was there. Yeah, or at least he thinks he was.
You don't think he? No, that's 69. He was definitely there.
Okay.
If he wanted. We've got Eugene in Laval who wants to. I love this. We are on TSN Radio 690 in Montreal. We've got Eugene in Laval, and he wants to talk about the FLQ.
Oh boy!
Welcome to the show.
Eugene.
Salut, Eugene. Comment ça va?
Bien. I'm English, but I just call myself Eugene. It's better than Eugene.
Sounds better. it's got a better twang to it.
It sounds way cooler.
My girlfriend's French. You know, it sounds. Oh, Eugene.
Eugene.
Oh, oui. Yeah, well, you know.
You don't do that on Randy's show, huh?
Yeah, well, no. Whatever. Anyway, the FLQ crisis was not a joke. I was alive at that time. They were blowing up mailboxes. They also, Pierre Laporte was murdered.
Right.
And the British High Commissioner was kidnapped.
But wasn't that 3 years after this football game? Like, that was 72,
no,
right?
It was one year after, actually.
Oh, okay.
In 1968, at the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Day parade.
Right, where Trudeau wouldn't leave.
Yeah, well, they were throwing bottles at him and everything like that. But,
right, they showed that in the documentary.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, I lived through it, and I saw it live. You know, and Pierre Trudeau took care of that terrorist. They were called terrorists at the time.
They were, okay.
That's what they were. And Pierre Elliott Trudeau, when he see that statement which you alluded to, which you made fun of, that he said that after a reporter asked, "Well, Mr. Prime Minister, you will not bring in the war measures.
You will not declare martial law." And we weren't making fun of it.
I wasn't making fun of it. I like it.
Well, yeah.
Just watch me.
Now, what would Harper do?
Yeah.
Harper wouldn't do anything because Harper can't even get meat packaging plants to make meat safe for us, like the XL food crisis. And remember Maple Leaf when 22 people died?
I do.
Harper is for less government, you know, and less rules, so we could pollute the planet and we could feed our children horrible beef, But Harper always likes that the billionaires will get more rich, nickel and diming me and you and our children. That's what Harper would do. You know, and also remember polluting the planet. Harper is an idiot. Did you know that it took 16 years for Harper to finish 4 years in university?
I did not know that. I know that he's been working on a hockey book for quite a long time, though.
Well, Harper has never played a sport in his life because Harper, unfortunately, when he was a child, had asthma, okay? But nobody knows that. But if you did some research like I did, you know, and, you know, he never played hockey.
I feel like we're hitting below the belt now, Eugene.
That's the truth.
I mean, I know. I feel like the truth is the truth. We can make fun of the man without bringing up his childhood afflictions, I think.
Yes, I'll bring him up. Go ahead, Eugene. Go crazy, Eugene.
Because he's never played hockey.
That a boy, Eugene.
You know, no, he doesn't. He never played hockey. I mean, God, you know, I have 8 stitches over my eye playing hockey. Harper never played hockey. You know, I mean, you guys played hockey. We played hockey. We play golf. We ski. The only thing Harper knows how to do is placate billionaires, you know, and pollute the planet. And say that Canada would be better off with less regulations. Well, we had less regulations in the meatpacking plant. And a great thing of this is Republicans say less government. What would happen down in New York if we had less government? A whole bunch of people would die.
That's right, Eugene. Romney wants to privatize FEMA. I want to thank you for that call. That was call of the night.
Eugene, it's all coming out because he can't do that on Randy's show.
Call of the night, Eugene.
Yeah,
thank
he can't
you.
Do that on Randy's show. No. So everything just built up, and he's like, you know what? I think I've got a platform.
That's right.
Now.
That's right. They're going to let me do it.
I'm going to go nuts.
They're going to let me do it.
Yeah, that a boy, fun. Eugene.
I look forward
to... You lost me about 8 minutes ago, but I was agreeing with you to some point.
Lots on tainted beef in that conversation. There were, renowned, I'd like to thank renowned carnivore Eugene from Laval for that call.
Jeez.
That was fantastic. Wow. Okay, so that answers the question, Jay.
I don't even know where we are right now.
The question was...
What question?
The question was...
Oh, how would Harper react?
What the hell are we going to do without baseball or hockey?
Yeah.
And you know what? And, we have an answer.
And that just happened.
That
there it is.
That just happened. We're going to take lots of calls is what we're going to do. We're going to take lots of calls. We're going to listen to you all complain. I know that the Barnstormer, wonderful Twitter feed to follow, they great website as well. They invited me to be a part of their round bus this week, their panel. I don't know if you saw that, Jay, but it was a lot of fun to talk about the dickishness of John Farrell. That was a blast.
Yeah.
And they suggested tonight that it's time to unfollow all hockey teams, all agents, all players. A little protest.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm only following one player right now, and it's because he was kind enough to come on our show 3 weeks ago.
Brandon Prust?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's an interesting tweet, too.
Sure,
so,
sure.
I agree. I agree. I think that should just be the start. Never mind what should be done afterwards. When the damage will be done when hockey actually comes back. That's when you should start your little revolution. Wait. Wait on them. Wait on them. And then let them suffer when they finally get their crap together.
Man.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Unless
I meant it, Dave. I'm really not going to say anything more. But you know what?
I like to pause for dramatic effect.
Yeah, if you're angry, there's nothing much you can do about it right now because there's no game to abstain from.
Right.
But when hockey comes back, hit them where it hurts. Let them know. Let them know that they could never get away with that crap again like they did in baseball.
I really want... I'm so torn on it, man, but I don't want to hold on to my season's tickets. I don't. And I know that it's a very nearsighted approach. I am afraid that 20 years down the line, I'll regret not having them. But right now, the right thing to do seems very obvious to me.
You it's whether you're willing or not to, you know, make a little sacrifice for your principles. And you know what? Someone like you who's in the media... At least it will have some effect. People will listen. People will see. You can lead by example. And you say, listen, I'm giving up my season tickets. I'm giving up my season tickets because they don't have the right to screw with me like that. And I'm not going to take it. You know, I'm not going to become one of the people who just is so thirsty and hungry and dying for hockey so much. Just please get it together and come back. No.
Why should
we grovel before these people?
I know that I'm somewhat responsible for this entire mess because I'm one of those people that they know they can count on the money year in, year out.
Right.
It's not a lot of money.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of money to me.
Right.
But it's you know, pocket change to them.
Right.
It just, again, short term or long term, right? Can I look at it about this year or next year or the year after and the fact that this league really doesn't deserve my money?
I tell you what, I have a lot of access to tickets, and I can get tickets usually whenever I want. I'm not going to one game.
Really?
I'm saying it on the air right now. I am not going to one game this year.
Wow.
And maybe next year as well. But I know right now, the way that I feel, I will not step foot in that building. I will not step foot in that building because they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it, treating people the way they do. And I'm not talking about the fan in general. I'm talking about the people that are working, the guys that are driving trucks, the guys that work at concessions, the guys that work at businesses all around that depend on this industry.
Right.
Because they're not thinking of them. So you know what? Screw you. I'm not going to the game.
But why should they think of them? Because they're going to be there no matter what.
Right.
I'm going to spend my money on rock and roll, and I'd like to give a shout-out to Canadian music legend Brad Ferguson, who's listening online in Winnipeg. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-1690. That's right, 1690. 1-866-896-2546 for the out-of-towners. We've got Ron in Montreal North. Good evening, Ron.
Yeah, hi, guys.
How are you, man?
Okay, one quick question.
Hold on 1 second, Ron. Sorry. Jimmy, are you okay?
Well, you're my throat's been ruined.
You
for
are
the
having
last
a coughing fit.
Exactly.
You all right?
No. My throat's been ruined the last couple of days.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy.
Okay. Jeez.
He's sounding like you, Farrar.
Like me.
He's got that
He doesn't sound like love.
Ron. Ron just passed. Jimmy just passed it on to Ron. I don't know how that works.
Ron's but, like, maybe I can sound like love.
All right. Everybody needs to calm down on the smoking, and let's take a breath and start all over again.
That really, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Ron, how are
you? I'm not bad. Good. Okay, one quick thing. I thought that was false publicity, that TSN thing, because the height of the crisis was October 1970. So I don't understand.
Thank you. I was wondering about that as well.
I don't understand anything of what they were trying to do. Get back to hockey, though, okay?
Sure. What hockey?
Okay. What the owners are trying to do, okay, and this is, you know, like, I'm older, all right? I don't want to say how old, but I'm old.
I would never ask. That would be disrespectful, sir.
I'm old.
Okay.
Born at 52. I'm old.
All right.
Okay. They want to break the union.
You're younger than Springsteen. You're not that old.
They want to break the union, all right?
Right.
Last time, they gave them the salary cap, the rollback. This time, okay, they want everything that they gained back. They want to take it away, okay? They want what they want, and they don't care. And what a lot of people don't understand, okay, is Gary Bettman plays with words, okay, when he says teams don't make money, right? Well, some teams don't want to make money.
Of course not.
Because when you have a big conglomerate...
Right. You can send the losses over to them. And yes. Totally. Totally.
If you ever saw the Don Cherry story, first part, okay, he was hired in the AHL to coach a team that was a subsidiary of the Vancouver Canucks. Okay?
Okay.
He was expected to lose money, not turn around and make a winning team. He got fired for that. That was one interesting thing about watching that series that I learned. You know, like, you got an AHL team, you hire a coach, you figure you want them to win. No, they wanted them to lose.
It's all business, man.
Because they wanted to write off the loss of, you know, that AHL team. I don't remember what team it was. It wasn't the Rochester Americans.
No, because that was the team where he was working under. Was it Eddie Shack? Eddie Shore. Sorry.
Eddie Shore. Yeah.
Right.
We call them Madagascar.
Well, all to say, Ron, that you know, like I was saying, I'm dealing with this thing right now where I've paid for my season's tickets for this year, and every time that they cancel a whole slate of games, I know that I'm getting X amount of money back off what I dropped. I'm going to have a conversation with the guy that I share tickets with, who I know is not on the same page as I am. He wants to keep them, and we've had the conversation about how wouldn't it be cool if our grandkids can go one day. How much are those tickets going to cost by the time my grandchildren are going to hockey games? Yeah. I can't even imagine.
And that's the point we're at in this city. Can you imagine that we have that mentality that, like tickets to a damn hockey game is some sort of heirloom? I mean, really. And that's the problem with our mentality in this city. And that's why we roll over and
thanks
we become complacent.
Call, thank you for the call, Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Let's go
good,
to...
Some good points by Ron, by the way.
Let's go to Brad Ferguson on line two there in Winnipeg. Canadian music legend Brad Ferguson. What the hell are you doing? What are you doing talking to us at 1 o'clock in the morning? My goodness.
It's a night off, so why not call in and say hi to my friends? How you doing, bud?
I'm great, man. You're rocking. You're doing the lights tour right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we're right in the middle. It's in L.A. last night, Winnipeg tonight, tomorrow, then back to Phoenix day after that. So
I heard a rumor that Hall of Fame broadcaster John Miller was grooving to lights at game 3, I think it was. Or was it game 2?
Is that right? I didn't know that.
I'll have to search and I'll search and send you the video if I can find it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That would be pretty cool. How are you, man? Brad went to game 2 of the World Series.
I was at game 2. I tell you, I went on StubHub, paid $450 for a ticket, could have turned around, sold it for $3,000, but, you know, held in there, bought the jersey, did the whole thing. It was great.
No regrets, I'd imagine.
Oh, fantastic. I've never seen atmosphere like that. You know, even, closest thing would be home opener for the Jays.
Oh, no, nothing like it.
But, you know, the closest thing, you know, seeing a big baseball crowd like that.
Well, first of all, there were no fist fights throughout the game in the upper deck, right?
Yeah, well, no fist fights, no one tumbling down the stairs while brawling. No, none of that. Great atmosphere, you know, even the Detroit fans, you know, they were miserable, but they were still having a decent time. And
were there a lot of them?
Really There's a few, and you know the San Francisco fans were really respectful of the out-of-towners, I have to say.
That's awesome. That's really
great.
Cool. Now I saw you. You tweeted out a couple of pictures, and you were it was in left field, all the way at the top, pretty much at the back, right?
I was in the very last row. I had a tarp behind me, which was covering a chain link fence.
It's That's
fantastic.
Cool, though, because that means you can stand and you're not bugging anybody behind you.
That and, you know, no excited fans are spilling beer all over me. So
that's
fantastic.
Huge. That's huge. Now, you had a vantage point. I was thinking of you when that bunt was dropped.
Oh, I could see it perfectly.
Yeah,
it
I
great.
Thought so.
Yeah, that was the one thing you actually could see, because that one hit that was hit to the corner in left field, I couldn't see it. That's the one where a fielder got thrown out of the plate. Couldn't even see where the ball had gone, because the way that top tier works is you cannot see this, like, the back half of the left field at all in that stadium. So that's the one disadvantage, that vantage point. But that bunt, I could see it perfectly from where I was. It was great. I was on my feet cheering along. It was great.
Now, were we hanging out at Oceaga, or was it at the Rogers Center for that afternoon ball game before you caught your flight, when we figured out that you were going to be in San Francisco during the World Series, and if they were playing, you had to go to a game?
Yeah. No, we were talking about that. That was really funny, because I totally thought you're insane and you know, totally grasping at straws by thinking that I could be in San Francisco for the World Series. But here we are. Here we were. We flew in and had that day off, and I just said, you know, what the heck? Let's go to the ball game.
I should have laid a bet that day, man.
You really should have. But you know, I've been listening to all the talk about this hockey season, and you know, it's really, you know, I really feel for hockey fans, because, you know, I really haven't been into hockey in a long time. I was a big fan in the early 90s. I was actually a huge Patrick Waugh and Habs fan in the early 90s. And when Patrick got traded to Colorado, my fandom, because I lived in Ontario, I wasn't really loyal to the Habs, but I was loyal to Patrick and followed him to the Habs. So once he retired, I kind of got out of following hockey, but I really feel for your hockey fans, because strike in baseball 94, that ruined me on baseball for 10 years, and I you know, two strikes and, you know, the span of how long, 10 years,
this will be what, the fourth hockey work stoppage in the last 20, right?
Yeah,
it's insanity. And you know, you got to wonder, you know, after the dust settles on all this, is Bettman's job safe? You know, he's seen over two strikes and very
yes,
little time.
But the reason his job is safe is because of the record profits it's gone from a kind of a Mickey Mouse-ish league when you looked at what their profits were to, what was it, over $3 billion last year? The craziest part about this is that, I mean, you know, I'm a baseball guy. Brad, I know you're a baseball guy, but we can understand that hockey is a wonderful game. Hockey is a great, great sport. It's a wonderful sport. It is such a poorly run league, or we wouldn't be running into these problems constantly. And the truth is, baseball was there. Once upon a time, baseball was a horribly run league.
Oh, absolutely.
But they got it together, because they understood that if they didn't, guys like you were never going to come back.
Exactly. And that, you know, I really fear that that's going to happen in hockey. You know, it's a really great sport, and I hate to see that happen for, you know, all my friends who love the game.
Brad, when are you in Montreal next?
I don't know that answer.
Okay.
I really don't. I know I'm going to be in the U.S. for the rest of November, and then I'm taking December off. And maybe, you know what, just maybe I'll just drive up and we'll maybe get together and talk some more baseball.
That would be awesome, Brad. You're more than welcome. And if it's on a Monday night, you'll come join us in studio.
Fantastic. Great talking to you guys.
You I'll too, man. You be too. Safe on the road. Have fun.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-1690 on the Kaufman Show. We've got Brian in NDG. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
No, not too bad. Funny how the when the power goes off, it wakes me up.
Oh, is your power out?
Well, not now. It's back, but it went out, and all these little alarms start going off when the power goes out. So, but anyway, about your tickets.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, there's so many people waiting for Habs.
I know. I'll never get them back.
Exactly.
I know.
And Molson won't notice.
I know.
Because somebody's, you know. And also, I suspect that Jeff Molson is probably one of the owners who doesn't want the strike. He probably wants to play.
You're probably right. He's probably, because he's one of the guys that makes money.
Exactly. So so if you give up your tickets, the only one that's going to notice is you.
I know.
So don't give them up. But, you know, you know,
words of wisdom, Brian. Thank you.
Okay, take it easy.
Oh, no, no. If you have something else to say, I appreciate that. And I see what you're saying. It's like, you know, how much pride do I want to feel? Like, there's a certain amount where I'll just step over the edge and I'll just kind of feel shame.
By that rationale, then we should never protest anything. Because, you know, well, nobody's going to go along with it, so we might as well not.
That's true. We saw the tuition fees did not go up for school this year.
But you know what? You know what? We're a city that doesn't take crap from anybody. We are. We really are.
Unless it comes to the Habs.
Unless it comes to hockey, where we're completely complacent.
Right.
And I don't know why. We've conformed completely to the hockey. And I understand that it's and I'm pretty sure that Jeff Molson is not a guy who really wants this to continue on. But you know what? We're in the hockey mecca. If there's any place where a statement can be made, it's right here in this city.
No, but the statement would not be big enough. And it's the same way that you see.
How do you know?
Because you
don't know unless you try, right?
Right.
Right. I'm not going. Right. I'm not going to a game.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to it on TSN 690. I'm going to watch it on RDS. I'm not going to go to the game.
They have to come back first before that happens. But do you really see 21,000 people turning their backs at a hockey game?
Absolutely not. That's the problem.
I don't.
That's the problem. And that's why the owners and whoever, and especially the deal makers and the guys that are handling the CBA right now, they can get away with whatever they want. You know why? Because we allow them to.
You know, let me ask this question. If the players had, instead of coming back with those three other proposals, if they negotiated off Bettman's 50-50, I think there would have been hockey. They'd be playing hockey in the second.
Yeah, but one of the biggest biggest things of that deal, though, is the idea that these contracts that were signed and negotiated upon and then signed this summer are suddenly not worth what they were printed on.
Exactly. Okay,
and that is so fundamentally wrong. And if I'm a hockey player, I know that there's nothing stopping the league from doing that again when whatever CBA they sign now expires in 6 years. That, to me, is the slipperiest of slippery slopes. I wouldn't go near that with my life.
It was a disingenuous offer.
Terrible.
You know what?
Terrible.
Listen to me. The thing about that is the reason they tried it again is because they've gotten away with it in the past.
That's right.
But you know what? Maybe that was a point that could have been dealt with. Maybe that was a point that if they'd instead of coming up with three different ones, if they'd have just negotiated off the one that they already had, then maybe that part of it could have been worked out. You know, I think there is an issue. I think there is teams legitimately losing money. I think the only real teams that are making money are the Canadian teams, plus maybe New York and Detroit, and even the Canadian teams. If you take away the Canadian dollar, the strength of the Canadian dollar, they wouldn't be looking as good either.
That's right.
I think there is revenue issues in the NHL, and I'm just a little bit sad that I think now they're probably going to go the rest of the season without playing. But I think
you're right. Brian, tell me, the Canadian dollar issue to me is something that's huge and really underreported. How do we know what the dollar is going to be in 6 years?
Exactly.
And six years ago, I don't think anybody saw it being where it's at today.
And there's another point, too, and that's that... let's say they negotiated that and then they got it up to maybe 52, 53 for the first year or two, and then it gradually got down to 50. Each year, like the league is making more money, and that's one thing that bothers me, is that because this stupidity that they're doing through now is only going to hurt league revenues. But each year they have been making more money after the last CBA debacle. So now it's gotten to the point where the revenues are increasing. So each year, even though the players would be getting 50-50, or even though it would be a 50-50 split, the actual amount of each side's 50-50 would be growing each year.
Right.
So I think they missed the boat. I think both sides missed the boat.
So how much money do you spend a year on NHL hockey?
Oh, I'm an old man. You know, I... I was going to Dawson and during the FLQ crisis. I don't even go to the bar anymore. I just sit at home and watch it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
good. Continue to do that.
But
I appreciate your sage advice on holding on to the tickets. And
but I have spent money in my day. I'll tell you that.
No, and I guess my question more was how much less are you spending now than you would if the Habs were playing? But it's a moot point if you're not spending money when they are playing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I've more or less become set in my old age. You know, I don't even go to the bar to watch it anymore.
Well, Jay misses you.
You get on the phone and you're sitting in your house and your buddy's sitting at his house and you're on the phone and you're each watching the game, you know. That's old age, you know.
well, for everybody's sake, I hope that you can get those games back soon. It doesn't look very likely right now, but, we're going to need something to talk about or we're just going to sound like, you know, old complainers too on Monday nights on the Kaufman Show.
Yeah, it's bottom line. I think both sides have a point, and both sides are also to blame. And we should have been playing this week.
Brian, thanks so much for the call.
All right, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye. Let's go to Mike in St. Leonard. Hello, Mike. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Very Dave, good. How you doing?
Not bad. You?
Very good.
Good. As for your tickets, you know, that's a personal decision. All I can tell you is that for myself and some people I know. What's happened is not even a situation where we want to protest. It's a situation where we're just losing interest overall,
mm-hmm.
which is probably even worse. I mean, when there's no passion on either side and you're just like bored with the whole situation, it's going to take a while for me even to get back into it. I'm not hyped for it. I enjoyed baseball maybe this fall more than I have in the last, I don't know, 5 years because it's just been the only thing and it, of course, captured my attention more. But, you know, you kind of get tired of reading the same thing over and over again about the CBA. You know, we're all lawyering up and getting on to know all these terms and the details of it. And you know what? Play or don't play, you know, at this point I'm like, whatever. Do whatever you want, you know?
Wow, I've never heard you so downtrodden.
Well, forget hockey, man. It's over. This situation's over. Like, what I was thinking about in terms of how they're going to play this out is if the owners want a part of a rollback, fine. What are you going to give the players in return? Are you going to give them part ownership of the league? If their revenue...
yeah, right.
Well, listen, if my revenue and my say pay is tied into how the company and the corporation and the NHL and the league is doing, I need to have a seat at the table. So first thing I'm going to tell you is if you're going to run teams in Phoenix when you can run it in Quebec City or Seattle or Hamilton, Ontario, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
and make all of us a lot wealthier, I have to be at that table making decisions. Otherwise, I can't trust your leadership. Otherwise, every 6 years, you're going to come see me and ask me for 25% of my pay. Meanwhile, you won't just shut up about all the millions of dollars you're making.
I don't understand it. You don't understand it. What other businesses have we seen an example like this in the past?
It's insanity.
I don't get it.
The thing is, when they're not sincere, and when Bettman, you know, how he portrays himself publicly is one thing, but in a closed room behind the table, you got to open the books and show the players the books. And if you can show them the real books and they can get a real understanding of that, they'll probably come on board because they don't want to lose a year of pay.
Yeah, but what's the average length of career?
5 years, 4 years, maybe.
So the guy who's sitting at this table is not going to be the same guy who's sitting at the table in 6 years. The only guy who's really gotten that opportunity is Mario.
Yeah.
And it's because the team went broke around him.
That's right. He's on all sides, you know. But it's funny how guys like him don't say much. You know, because he's been on both sides of the ledger. And so I'd love to know how he feels now and he can't really speak freely because he was once, you know, a player.
Right.
You know, so he doesn't have the freedom to talk.
Well, he's also not allowed to talk, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you have to keep your mouth shut.
There's a full-on gag order from above on that one.
Exactly. The other thing I was going to call you about, well, you guys opened the show about CNN.
Yeah.
Guys, man, this isn't news anymore. They're trying to be the news, you know, like until something falls and hits Anderson Cooper in the head outside, they're not going to be happy.
Which came close tonight.
Which I wish would happen.
Yeah. But you know what?
Maybe they'll stop doing that crap.
Yeah, because
they won't be happy until someone like one of their guys like dies live on TV. Then they're like, finally, We've seen the light. Our ratings are up because it's insanity. There's nothing to report out there. And I went through the same thing. And they're scaring people. They're making it worse. Even people here in Montreal are like calling me, texting me, oh my God, are we going to get the storm? I mean, it's pandemonium.
The problem is a guy is sitting in the studio and talking live to mayors all over the East Coast. It's just not entertaining enough. Right. That's the problem. There's not enough insanity to put in people's faces for them to stay tuned, you know?
You're so right. That's what it comes down to. Like, we need more craziness.
There's got to be more lights, more naked women, and more action going on.
Mike, I got to say, I'm looking forward to seeing how the newsroom handles this in 2 years.
Well, yeah, that's going to be great. I mean, and the election as well, too. Opening up with Mitt Romney, that's perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's a perfect touch. I laughed when I heard that.
Good.
His days are numbered anyways. But
well, fingers crossed.
Well, that blog, 538, that you mentioned last week.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Outstanding. Really is. And he was on the Bill Maher show. I don't know if you caught that last Friday.
No, I didn't. Oh, I'll have to go back and watch.
You have to see that. He was there and explaining it a lot about what he does. And,
wow, okay.
You know, he's amazing. Really, really talented guy. And that website.
Hey, he's a baseball guy, right? I mean, we know he's cool.
Exactly. And you know what? Sabermetrics, I mean, the way they break it down on that blog, you know, it's so detailed. And the fact that he came so close, I think he was 6 or 7 electoral votes off last time from the Obama winning number.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible how close he can get it. And this is, of course, why the right hates him, you know? I mean, if he was saying their guy was winning, they'd be like, he's the greatest thing on earth. But
right, right. He's not giving any credit to Jesus in any of this either.
That's right, you know?
Mike, thanks so much for the call. Hope you call in next week.
You bet. Have a good evening, guys.
Yeah, you too.
Goodbye.
Let's go to Josh in Hampstead. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Dave, I don't think I need to tell you. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I bet. Big Giants fan.
Yeah, it's been a great month, needless to say.
It's been a pretty damn good 3 years, actually, I'd say.
Pretty damn good 3 years, and that's where I was right going to go. Because I want to talk Buster Posey. Hope it's okay, right?
Of course it is, but you gotta tell me, who are you whispering for? Because I feel like you're doing like that quiet talk thing that you do when you don't want to wake anyone, right?
I think some people would be sleeping.
Well, you wake them up. You're on the radio.
Okay, you hear me good now?
There you go. You want Max to be able to hear you in San Francisco. Come on.
All right, so what I wanted to say was, you know, Buster Posey, year one, rookie of the year, World Series. Year two, he gets injured. Don't need to tell the story there. Then year three, potential MVP of the league, and another World Series. Baseball, Dave, is a sport of failure. He's defying the odds.
He should retire right now.
He's so shit.
He's done. He's done it all. It's perfect. Yeah, retire. Just put him in the Hall of Fame based on that.
It'd be the Beatles type career.
Right.
Right on top.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, Lincecum, who thought he could do that?
Could you see, let me ask you, Josh, could you see Lincecum becoming a full-time reliever, pitching 3-4 innings at a time, being that guy, redefining the role of a middle reliever?
I can't imagine anyone spending close to $20 million a year on a middle reliever.
But we saw in these playoffs how necessary it can be.
Ask Mariano Rivera about that. The reliever is the most overrated position in all of baseball. It really is.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about a closer.
Even a middle reliever, you know, it's a fat guy, big fat white guy that usually comes out.
Scrawny white stoner. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's different. So,
here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if you've read Jonah Carey's Extra 2%, I'm sure lots of your listeners have, he talks about how bullpen is really the most volatile position, I guess, in baseball. So building a bullpen on the cheap is pretty feasible. I don't think spending $20 million on a reliever is prudent.
No, it's not.
No, of course not. But once you have him, right?
No, for sure. But you also could have an ace if you could rebuild him a bit.
Did you get to see them live this year, Josh?
I did not get to see them live. Last year, I actually went to Wrigley.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
A doubleheader, which was unbelievable. And, yeah, this year I started a full-time job of it, so I got a bit busy. But I still caught about 120 games, I think, on the air. So
oh, my goodness.
Solid.
Well, congratulations, Josh. And, you know, open invitation. Every time the Giants win the World Series, I expect you to call in.
All right, hopefully next year.
And hopefully it's sometimes in between as well, if you ever up late and want to talk some ball.
Absolutely.
Have a great night.
You too.
He's the Buster Posey of listeners.
Let's go to Rick in Pointe Claire. Hello, sir.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
In getting back to the CBA, I think Pierre Maguire gave it proper perspective, and his viewpoint was this. The NFL, which is the most successful league, has revenues in the area of in excess of $9 billion. They have an average salary that's about $1.9 million. He said that, of course, revenues for the NHL are at $3.3 billion, and their average salary is $2.6 million. The players, and he wasn't taking sides in this particular situation either, but I think his perspective was they better really know what they're fighting about in this particular case. My view is that they have the wrong guy. Don Fehr might have been useful in the last negotiation when the salary cap was at issue. Mm-hmm. But they're bringing a guy who's a gunslinger and a guy who will not back down to deal with Bettman. And, of course, the owners are not going to back down. So what they need is somebody who's more conciliatory in their approach than Donald Fehr.
And I think the problem with that,
why would
though,
the players want that?
Exactly. I don't see myself being a hockey player knowing that my career is only X amount of years and that I can only make a certain amount of money. Why would I want that conciliatory guy?
But even with the salary cap, they're making more money than they ever were making.
But it doesn't matter. It's never enough.
Capitalism doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. You're talking about the guy who completely avoided. He's the only of all the four major sports. The only sport that doesn't have a salary cap is baseball. Why? Donald Fehr. I mean, why wouldn't you back this guy?
It was Miller at the time.
Miller at the time, but they had another shot at it in 94,
yeah.
And they avoided it. You know, so, and then in 2002, once again, avoided it again. Why wouldn't you want this guy on your side?
Baseball was not saved because of Donald Fehr. Baseball was saved because of Sonia Sotomayor, the soon to be, at the time, she was an arbitration judge, but she's now a Supreme Court justice in the United States. And I fear that it's going to take that kind of intervention in hockey before we get moving again.
What they needed to do was to tweak the agreement that they had. And with Donald Fehr, what you have is somebody who's simply not going to back down. And it's going to lead to another season. Hopefully not, but the possibility of another season without hockey. And if you come right down to it, you're looking at players that, let's say, who are in there. Maybe they have a few years left. They can't afford to lose a whole year. You know, it's just it's a shame to see it. They're making more money than they were ever making before. And I don't think you could get a better deal than a 50-50. 57-43 in favor of the players, that was not realistic. When you come right down to brass tacks and a partnership, if we look at it in those terms, 50-50 is what a normal partnership is. And the players are not, they don't have the overhead of having to, maintain staffs and run buildings and handle all of that. They basically bring their talent, which, of course, they're handsomely paid for. I think that
Rick, you're talking about them like they're cattle. to be fair, let me ask you a question. Do you go to games?
I do go to the occasional game. I go maybe about 5-6 times a year.
Okay, if Scabs were playing, would you go?
No.
You wouldn't go watch just anybody playing a Habs uniform?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay, so then I think these guys mean a little bit more than what you're giving them.
No, right? But I mean, they have a 50-50 agreement. That was what was on the table.
Well, but again, a lot of this 50-50 was also with a whole bunch of fixes to the contracts that were signed this summer. And if you offer me a job and we sign a deal this summer, and then 2 months later, before the contract can even be kicked in, you say, oh, let's roll back a quarter of this.
Yeah,
I cry foul.
You agreed to pay somebody a certain amount of money, and you signed a paper. You got to pay them. It's very simple.
I agree with you there, that was Pierre Maguire's position.
So,
as
but
well.
let's call that the contract, one. Let's call that the one non-negotiable.
Yeah,
in
I
all
agree.
Of this.
I agree, but I think you can get over that hump. I think that this is something that the owners are stupid enough to go out and sign these contracts anyway. So I mean, they have to live by. By the decisions that they make in that regard. I think that's an issue that can be resolved.
Rick, we've got 2 days now where New York and Toronto are going to be kind of underwater.
Yeah.
And hopefully everybody can take a few deep breaths and figure this out, because it's going nowhere right now.
No, you're right.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You as well. Bye now.
And that about wraps up.
Good call. Good call.
You know what? That was about a half an hour barrage of fantastic calls.
See, you asked? You asked, what are we going to do now that baseball's over? Well, there you go. The people have something to say, and we're going to listen to the people.
Best damn callers in radio.
Yeah.
TSN 690, faithful audience.
We There's are, a kind of...
so happy.
A higher intellect in our callers.
I appreciate that and acknowledge it as well.
Yeah.
I want to thank all our guests from tonight. I want to thank Wendy Thurm, contributing baseball writer at Getting Blanked and FanGraphs and Baseball Nation. Follow her, Hanging Sliders. I want to thank Ashley Chavez, Smashley Chavez on Twitter, the winner of the MLB Fan Cave, with a little bit of advice. If you're thinking about entering, check out the podcast, thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. I want to thank Max Harris, Canadian music legend Brad Ferguson, Jay Farrar. Who am I leaving out? All you wonderful emailers and tweeters and Facebookers and all the rest of you. Please. Coffin Jimmy G and poor, Ed and John K.
Poor Jimmy. Get that thing under control, man.
Jimmy, you feel better, bro.
Feel better.
And to all of you out there in this crazy weather, stay safe and stay dry. And if you can avoid it, don't go out. To all our friends in New York, we love you. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. You saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?